Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. Brothers and sisters, there is such a bond, as the Church tells us, between Jesus and his mother. You remember the wedding feast at Cana, and she comes to him and she says to him, "They have no wine. Poor family. They've run out of wine." And he says, "Woman, what is that to me or to you?" And he didn't move. And she just turned to the waiters with utter confidence. And she said to them, "Do whatever he tells you." She didn't take his place. She just made the bridge. Just one of those touching moments. He did it out of love for her. He did it out of love for us, absolutely, but he did it out of love for her. Because what had happened, Mary had said the initial yes. In a certain sense, poets say that the world held its breath when the angel said to Mary, asked Mary if she would be the mother of the Savior. And I'm summarizing now, but the angel came. And Mary knew exactly what it meant. And she said, "How can this be? I know not man." And he said to her, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the one to be born to you will be the Son of God." I'm summarizing that. What an incredible moment. And she said, what was her answer? "Be it done unto me according to thy word." It was her yes that caused the word to become flesh. God never forces himself. But she, in the midst of, I can't imagine the darkness and the confusion and the bewilderment and everything else, that she said yes and never turned back. When you call out your mother's name, Mary, Jesus hears. And he loves it that we honor his mother. I remember many years ago being in a very, very poor situation in another part of the world, and all the people there were very, very poor. I probably would say destitute in some respects. And this little boy came over to me, and he was probably 4 or 5 years old. He was filthy, and his clothes were very ragged, but his eyes were just shining. And he came up to me, and he just kind of touched my skirt and just kind of pulled it just a little bit. And I looked down at him and I said, "Yes, this little creature." And he said, he looked at me and smiled and he said, "Come." And so I did. I followed him just across a grassy area. And what I found on the other side was a woman sitting there on the ground. They were all waiting for the food that was to be served. And this little guy looked at me, and he said, with the greatest pride, I've not seen anything like it, to be in the midst of destitution, really destitution, hungry. And he said, "This is my mother." And he was so proud of her. "This is my mother." For some reason, I thought of the Christ child. I wonder if he said to people, "This is my mother." And only he and Mary would know the depth of what that meant, because she said yes. Her name, because of Jesus, is holy. Cry out to her. Ask her to bring you to Jesus. That little guy was overjoyed to have the mother he had. She looked at me and said, "He's a good boy." I said, "He's a very good boy because he has a very good mother." Didn't matter about what they had or didn't have, in one sense. It certainly mattered in terms of life-sustaining, but nothing mattered. It was the relationship that mattered. So it was with Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate her name. Our salvation begins, says the introduction here in Magnificat, begins when an angel speaks the name of Mary. To be Christian is to carry on that annunciation unceasingly. St. Louis de Montfort wrote that the salvation of each individual is bound up with the Hail Mary. The prayer which names the holy name of the Mother of God brought to a dry and barren world the fruit of life. It will cause the Word of God to take root in the soul and bring forth Jesus. The holy name of Mary bears such power because of the unique bond between mother and son. When God sent his son born of a woman, he instituted a once and for all order of salvation in which the union of mother and child stands at the center. May you know the beauty of the Blessed Mother that Jesus has given us. May you know the beauty of a relationship with her in your own life. Ask her. That's all you have to do. Ask Jesus to introduce you. The first reading is from Paul's letter again to the Corinthians chapter 7. This is verse 25 to 31. Brothers and sisters, in regard to virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. So this is what I think, because of the present distress. It is a good thing for a person to remain as he is. These were people who had just been baptized. Remember back in the year 51, they had just been baptized. So now what does this mean? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And he says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek a separation. Are you free of a wife? Do not look for a wife. If you marry, however, you do not sin. Nor does an unmarried woman sin if she marries. But such people will experience affliction in their earthly life. And I would like to spare you that. In other words, really look at it. Are you intended to be a disciple by putting aside the gift and the beauty of marriage? He's just telling them, make the decisions. He says, there's no commandment from the Lord. I give you my opinion. This is Paul. I give you my opinion. I tell you, brothers, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Those weeping is not weeping. Those rejoicing is not rejoicing. Those buying is not owning. Those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. Now, he's not saying you just absolutely discard everything and you stand there, you know, immobile or something like that. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is recognize that this life is only the beginning. The life you live now on this earth is only for a period of time. So that our lives as we live them, the decisions that we make, make it in light of eternity. What is God offering me here now? What is God asking of me now? What is possible for me now? In light of eternity. As someone said to me one time, you're going to live forever. The question is where? You and I are going to live forever. That's God's promise. And it will be eternal joy. It won't be this life extended forever. Many people would say, I wouldn't want that. But you do want all that God has to give you. You do want all that he wants to offer you. He wants to offer you union with him. He wants to offer you eternal life. So how are you living your life? Are you living it in light of eternity? Or are you living it as though this were all that there was? That I'm just going to, you know, live, learn to do a job, do the job, pay the bills and die. Is that what you think life is? Don't live on that plane. You want to live in faith that what God has promised to those who follow him. Life eternal, union with love itself forever. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 26, raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." In other words, you don't depend on money. We all have to depend on money in a certain level. I'm talking over and above the necessities. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Or you have much money and you give it away. You care for the poor and the weak. You care for the suffering. You put your money to work. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. No matter how much sorrow, No matter how much, whatever this earth offers doesn't satisfy the deepest hungers of our heart. He says, blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. If they're saying those things because you're a Christian, that's what he's speaking about. It's not just for any old reason. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. When you suffer for being a Christian, blessed are you. Even if people hate you, even if they exclude you, even if they insult you, even if they publicly denounce you, blessed are you. If you do it, if you offer it for the sake of the kingdom to come. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. They were going through, as disciples, they were going through all kinds of attacks and struggles. And in some cases, they feared for their lives. And Jesus says, rejoice and be glad on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. In other words, if you're wealthy and you're living simply for yourself and the things you want, you're very self-centered, then woe to you. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry, that you are self-satisfied, you have everything, but you're not reaching out to help others. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Many just laugh at the things of this earth. They're just caught up in this world, this latest show, this latest song, this latest athlete, whatever. And there are good things about all of that. But when they consume us, when our lives are lived on the basis of those things, woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Sometimes, you know, the world can easily get caught up with certain celebrities. We see it a lot. They get caught up with all kinds of celebrities and then they pass away. And people forget about them. Or you learn terrible things about them. They put on one face, but in reality they were something else. Be very, very careful what you honor, what you hold up, what you spend your time and your money on in terms of actors and actresses and musicians. They're all very good ones, but there are a lot that aren't, that appeal to some part of the flesh. It's not good. Where's your money going? Where are your resources going? Brothers and sisters, these are areas that we sincerely really need to take hold of and pay attention to in our own lives, that we might not be seduced by the evil one. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.